Acts 76 chapter, battle between Shallah, the members of the Jadu dynasty. While Sukhdev Goswami was narrating various activities of Lord Krishna, was playing the role of an ordinary human being, he also narrated the history of the battle between the dynasty of Jadu and Shalla, who managed to possess a wonderful peership of the name Shobha. This King Shalla was a great friend of Shishupal. When Shishupal went to marry Rukmini, this Shalla was one of the members of the bridegroom's party. At that time, when there was a fight between the soldiers of the Jadu dynasty and the kings on the opposite side, at that time, Shalla was also defeated by the soldiers of the Jadu dynasty. But Shalla, despite his defeat, he made a promise before all the kings that he would in future make the whole world without any member of the Jadu dynasty. Or in other words, since he was defeated in the fight during the marriage of Rukmini, he was maintaining within himself unforgettable envy against Lord Krishna. In fact, however, he was a fool because he promised to kill Krishna. But as usual, that such demons take the shelter of demigod Lord Shiva to execute some ulterior motive. So Shalla, in order to get a strength, he took the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. He underwent a severe type of austerity, so much so that during daytime, he would simply eat a handful of ashes. Lord Shiva, the husband of Parvati, generally is very merciful and he becomes very quickly satisfied. If somebody takes a severe austerities to please him, so after continued austerities, Naga, or even the Rakshasas, not only that, the aeroplane fly anywhere and everywhere, he would like to drive it, and it might be specifically very much dangerous and fearful to the dynasty of the Jodus. Lord Shiva immediately agreed to give him the benediction, and Shalla took the help of the demon Maya for manufacturing this iron aeroplane, which was so strong and formidable that nobody could crash it. It was a very big machine, almost like a big city, and it was running so high and in great speed that it was almost impossible to see where it is, and not to mention anything about attacking this plane. From outside, it was almost darkness to everyone. But from inside, this aeroplane could fly anywhere, everywhere, wherever the pilot would drive it. Now, Shalla, having gotten such wonderful aeroplane, he drove it to the city of Dwarka, because his main purpose for obtaining this aeroplane was to attack the city of the Jadus, as he was maintaining continually a feeling of animosity towards them. Expire. Shalla that not only attacked the city of Dwarka from up on the sky, but also he surrounded the city by a large number of infantry soldier. The soldier on the surface began to attack the beautiful spots of the city. Specifically, they began to destroy the nice parks, the city gates, the palaces, and the skyscraper houses, the high walls around the city, and the beautiful spots of the city where people would gather for recreation. While the soldiers were attacking on the surface, the aeroplane began to drop big, big slabs of stone, trunks of the trees, thunderbolts, poisonous snakes, and many other dangerous things on the city. Not only that, he created such a strong whirlwind within the city that the whole Dwarka city became dark because of the dust that covered the sky. In this way, the aeroplane occupied by Salla put the whole city of Dwarka in such a distressed condition as it was done by Tripurasu, created a great disturbance on the earth long, long ago. The inhabitants of Dwarkapuri became so much harassed that even for a moment they were not in peaceful condition. Next while, after this, the great heroes of Dwarka city, headed by commanders like Pradyumna, prepared to counter-attack the soldiers and the aeroplanes of Salla. When he saw that the citizens were too much distressed, he immediately arranged his soldiers and personally got up on a chariot and enthused the citizen by assuring safety. Following his command, many warriors like Satyaki, Charudeshna, Shamba, all younger brothers of Pradyumna, as well as accompanied by Akrura, Kritavarma, Bhanubinda, Gada, Shuka, and Charana, all of them equipped themselves with necessary weapons, bows and arrows, and they came out of the city to fight with Salla. All of them were Maharathi fighters, for each one of them could fight with thousands of men. All of them were fully equipped with necessary weapons, assisted by hundreds and thousands of charioteers, elephants, horses, and infantry soldiers. After this, a fierce fighting began between the two parties, exactly as it was formerly done between the demigods and the demons. The fighting was very, very severe between the two parties, and observing the fearful nature of the fight, everyone's hairs on the body stood up on the end. Pradyumna immediately counteracted the mystic demonstration made by the aeroplanes of Salla, the king of Sova, by the mystic power of the specific aeroplane occupied by Salla. He created a dense darkness like night, but Pradyumna, all of a sudden, appeared there as if the rising of the sun. As on the rising of the sun, the darkness of night is immediately dissipated. Similarly, on appearance of Pradyumna, the jugglery of power exhibited by Salla became null and void. In each and every arrow, there was golden feather at the end of the shaft, fitted with iron sharp heads. By release of such 25 arrows, he immediately injured severely the commander-chief of Salla. Just after this, he released another 100 arrows upon the body of Salya. After this, he pierced each and every soldier by releasing one such arrow, and he killed the chariot driver by 10 arrows on each one of them. The carriers, like the horses and elephants, were killed by release of 3 arrows for each one of them. When everyone present in the battlefield saw this wonderful action of Pradyumna, the great fighters on both the sides began to eulogize his acts of chivalry. But still, the aeroplane occupied by Salya was very, very mysterious. It was so much extraordinary that sometimes it would look that there are many aeroplanes on the sky like that, and sometimes it would be seen that there was none. Therefore, sometimes it was visible and sometimes it was not visible. And the warriors of the Jodhu dynasty become puzzled to find out the whereabouts of the peculiar aeroplane. Sometimes they would see the aeroplane on the ground, and sometimes they would see the aeroplane flying on the sky. Sometimes they would see that the aeroplane was resting on the peak of a hill, and sometimes it was seen floating on the water. The wonderful aeroplane was flying on the sky as if fire-flying wheel, and it was not steady even for a moment. But despite the mysterious maneuvering of the aeroplane, the commanders and the soldiers of the Jodhu dynasty would immediately rush towards Salya wherever he was present along with his aeroplane and soldiers. The arrows released by the dynasty of the Jodhus were as brilliant as the sun, as sharp as the tongue of the serpent. As such, all the soldiers and fighters on behalf of Salya became very soon distressed by the incessant pouring of arrows upon them by the heroes of the Jodhu dynasty. Not to mention of the soldiers and commanders of Salya, he himself became unconscious by the attack of the arrows thrown by the heroes of the Jodhu dynasty. Next, the soldiers and the fighters on behalf of Salya were also very strong, and the release of their arrows were sufficiently causes for the harassment of the heroes of Jodhu dynasty. Still, they were so strong and determined that they did not move from their strategic positions. The determination of the heroes of Jodhu dynasty was either they would die in the battlefield or become victorious. They are confident in the fact that if they would die in the fighting, they would attain heavenly planets, and if they would come out victorious, they will enjoy the world. The name of the commander-in-chief of Salya was Duma, was bitten by the arrows of Pradyumna, 25 arrows, as it is already explained. But he was very, very powerful. Suddenly, he attacked Pradyumna with his fearful club, and he struck him so strongly that Pradyumna immediately became unconscious, and there was a roaring within quotation, "Now he is dead, now he is dead." The strike of the club by Duman on the chest of Pradyumna was very severe, as if chest became torn into two. His chariot was being driven by the son of Daruka. According to Vedic military principles, the chariot driver and the hero on the chariot had to cooperate during the fighting. As such, it was the duty of the chariot driver to take care of the hero on the chariot during the dangerous and precarious position in the battlefield. As such, Daru removed the body of Pradyumna from from the battlefield at a different place after 2 hours in that condition, Pradyumna regained his consciousness, and when he saw that he was in a different place than the battlefield, he addressed the charioteer and condemned him that he by saying, "Oh, he have done the most abominable act. Thus, why you have moved me from the battlefield? My dear charioteer, I have never heard that in our family anyone was thus removed from the battlefield. None of them left the battlefield while fighting. Now, by this removal, you have overburdened me with a great defamation, but I have left the battlefield while fighting was going on. My dear chariot, I must accuse you that you are coward and emasculate. Can you say, how can I go before my uncle Balaram and before my father Krishna? And what shall I explain before them? Now everyone will talk about me that I fled away from the fighting place. And if they inquire from me about this, what will be my reply? My sister-in-laws will play joke upon me with sarcastic words. Oh, my dear hero, how you became so much coward? How you became an eunuch? How you became so much lower down in the eyes of your opposite fighter? I think, my dear chariot, dear, you have committed a great offense by removing me from the battlefield. The charioteer of Pradyumna replied, "My dear sir, I wish a long life for you. I think I did not do anything wrong, as it was the duty of the charioteer to help the fighter in the chariot when he is in such precarious condition. My dear sir, you are completely competent in the battlefield activities, but it is the mutual duty either of the charioteer or of the warrior to give protection each other in such precarious condition. I was completely conscious of the regulative principles of fighting, and I did it as duty. The enemy, all of them, sudden struck you with the club so severely that you immediately became unconscious, and surrounded by your enemies, you are in a dangerous position. Therefore, I was obliged to do like that." Put it on close. Next paragraph. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Bhagavata of the 76th chapter, Krishna, the matter of battle between Sala and the members of the Jadu.